Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to schedule your next appointment and learn more about their services at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoCINCY.com. I am your host, Double T. Glad to be with you on this beautiful Monday evening. And before we jump into the show, I do want to remind everybody that OrthoSensi in Lawrenceburg is offering free sports physicals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. All student athletes grades 6 through 12 are eligible to receive a free sports physical that will be good for the 2024-25 school year. Parents must accompany any students under the age of 18. But a great reason to go see our friends at OrthoSensi this Saturday. Free sports physicals, and everyone that takes a sports physical will get a free OrthoSensi sports t-shirt. So there you go. Everybody loves a free t-shirt. Plenty to get to on the show, a loaded show here this evening. We're going to talk about Mason Paris, the Olympian. We got some basketball news to get to, a resignation at Switzerland County High School on the girls' side of things. South Dearborn High School basketball star committing to play college ball. Also have a young lady from East Central that's going to play college soccer that we want to talk about. Going to hit on the NKU women's basketball program. They made a very interesting hire as of today. We're going to talk some boys' golf and one particular team in high school baseball before I get to my NFL mock draft for the Bengals with the first round coming up on Thursday night. So let's go ahead and jump right on in because we do have plenty to get to. And I want to start with the Lawrenceburg native Mason Paris. I don't think I'm the only one that thought that this young man could reach Olympic status at some point in his life, as we all watched him navigate high school wrestling. And you could see the flashes as a freshman, went deep into the state tournament and fell a little short, but then the next 3 years was dominant, winning three state championships in a row, and then had an outstanding college career where he was an All-American and just kept striving, kept getting closer and closer to winning a national championship before doing that as a fifth-year senior. So he's checked all the boxes so far. He's won the biggest thing that you can win at every level that he has been at. And now that next level is going to the Olympics and trying to win the gold medal this summer. So how did Mason Paris get to this point? Well, first off, he was bronze at the World Championship back in September. I believe that was in Serbia off the top of my head, and that was good enough to get him into the championship round at the U.S. team trials, which took place over the weekend at Penn State University. So he was already in the championship, which was a best 2 out of 3, and there were 10 challengers that had to navigate a bracket to get the right to wrestle Mason Paris in that best 2 out of 3 falls. And it was Hayden Zilmer who ended up being the one guy that got to that championship round. A former All-American at North Dakota State in 2015. He was the senior national champion in 2019. And he's twice finished third and now twice finished as the runner-up at the U.S. team trial. So I do feel for Hayden Zilmer because he has been very, very close to fulfilling his Olympic dreams but has come up short 4 times. So again, feel sorry for him, but very, very happy for Mason Paris as he wins both of those first 2 matches by 7-0 decision, knocking Zilmer's chances of going to the Olympics out. And Paris is going to go to Paris, France this summer to represent Team USA at 125 kilograms. So I just going to sit here and say I really expected nothing less from this young man, just watching and following his career from being a student athlete at Lawrenceburg, then going to the University of Michigan, and now pursuing Team USA Wrestling. He's won multiple championships at every level. He's won world championships now at like the senior level. So he's been fantastic. We all know this, and it's just to the point now where anything he does not really surprise me. And now I just want to sit back and kind of enjoy the ride that he's on vicariously, just sitting watching on the TV as he's going to go to Paris later on this year and, you know, try to get up on the podium. If he comes back with a bronze or a silver, obviously if he wins the gold, that But just being at the Olympics and being a representative on Team USA, this is going to be the thrill of a lifetime for this young man, his family, and whoever else may be able to get to go along with him to Paris. I'm thinking about him walking out during the opening ceremony and being with all the other great athletes that are going to be on Team USA. Who knows? He might rub shoulders with LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant when the U.S. basketball team is out there, just to name a couple guys off the top of my head. But there's no shortage of great athletes, and he's on that list, so that is pretty cool to think of as well. I don't know if he sits down and maybe takes a second to think about all of the great athletes that are going to surround him, not only Team USA, but throughout the world when he gets to Paris later on this year. So, again, just an awesome, awesome story. Couldn't be happier for this young man, and wish him all the best. Hopefully we're talking about him come August 9th and 10th. Being in the gold medal match and winning that gold medal match, and maybe they'll have a parade here in Lawrenceburg, something like that, when he returns home. But that 125-kilogram tournament will take place August 9th through the 10th in Paris, a part of the Summer Games. So I can't wait to see what Mason Paris does next. Hopefully it involves a gold medal, but certainly a lot of folks very proud of the Lawrenceburg native. And we do hope to catch up with him sometime this week. Chelsea is working on getting that locked down for an interview in the morning. And if we do indeed get Mason on the air this week, we will likely rerun his interview next Monday on the show. We were hoping to have that for today. I'm sure he's a very, very busy man after winning at the U.S. team trials over the weekend. So we're going to do our best to get him on this week, and we'll spread that interview around as much as we can so everybody can get their ears on it. So do stay tuned for that. All right, let's move forward here. We are going to talk some basketball on this edition of Crunch Time, again presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi with a Y.com. Let's talk high school girls basketball. This was a little bit of a shocker this past week. Brooke Todd resigning her position at Switzerland County High School as the head coach there. She is going to maintain her teaching position, so the administration there is still very glad to have her within the school system. But that resignation as girls basketball head coach was approved last Monday by the school board. Now, if you remember back to 2021, that's when Brooke Todd replaced Mark Boggs as the Lady Pacers head coach. So three seasons at the helm. Did a very nice job, led Switzerland County to three winning seasons and an overall record of 44-29. And did talk to athletic director Brian Graham last week, and he obviously mentioned that she did a great job, which she did. 44-29 is a great record over 3 years, especially when you're just starting out. You're new, you're young, you're trying to figure out how to coach a little bit, what your system's going to be, learn the players, all that stuff that goes into it. And AD Graham went on to say they hate to see her go from the basketball standpoint, but again, very happy that she's staying on as a teacher within Switzerland County Schools. Now, he did add that she loves Switzerland County, was not an easy decision for her to give up coaching, but just wanted to kind of pursue some other things. I did mention she's still very young. We don't know what those other things are. It's not really important. It's not for us to dig too deep into that matter. It might be a personal thing. I don't know, but at the end of the day, she's going to step away from coaching. Who knows? She might return one day. That's speculative, but I don't think the door is completely closed on that. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but she's still young. She could come back to coaching later down the road if she so chooses. But I do think one way or another, regardless if she gets back into athletics in any way, shape, or form, she's likely to be a Switzerland County Athletic Hall of Famer, and that's due to her playing days. She was a four-year letter winner, helped lead the Lady Pacers to four consecutive Rivertown Classic championships. She was on the all-tourney team, I believe, at least I know three of those years, maybe all four. She was the MVP of that tournament twice, her junior and senior season, and did help lead Switzerland County to their most recent sectional championship in 2015, won a game in the regional that year as well. She was a fantastic player, went on to play 4 years of college ball at Hanover. So, again, for her, what she did athletically, likely to be a Switzerland County Hall of Famer down the road. She would at least get my vote if I had one. She was a fantastic player, which I had the pleasure of covering multiple times, specifically there at the Rivertown Classic. But the next Switzerland County girls varsity basketball coach will inherit a program that has won five consecutive, or that has had five consecutive winning seasons. So this has been a really great program. They've had some really great coaches come through, really great players come through throughout the years. So pretty good job available there for anybody that is looking to potentially be the head girls basketball coach at Switzerland County. Looking forward to seeing who lands that job. Let's stick with high school hoops. Want to talk a little bit about Brody Tiki, this young man that's been on this very show maybe more times than any other student athlete in the area, between playing basketball at South Dearborn and then becoming a soccer player just a couple of years ago. So he's made many appearances. He has been great on the show, a great representative for South Dearborn High School, and very happy for him that he's going to be playing college basketball. I know this is something that he's been striving for and been doing a lot of work to, one, get his game to that level, to get to a college and play at that level, but also just being out there on social media, sharing highlights, getting in touch with coaches. Sometimes you have to be your own recruiter, and I think that he and his family have done a good job of, you know, getting eyeballs on him. And I think Coach Cosgrove at South Dearborn has done a nice job with that as well, helping these young men on his team follow those dreams of playing college basketball. So again, very happy for Brody, and he's going to be heading down south, actually going to the Sunshine State. I talked to his dad a couple times throughout the season this past year, and he had made mention that there was a school in Florida that Brody really liked, and one that he landed on was Warner University. It's in Lake Wales, Florida. That's east of Tampa. It's more so in the middle of the state, but going to get plenty of sunshine down there, and going to be playing at Warner University on a team that I looked at the roster. They don't have any seniors this last year, so might be some patience needed there from Brody to crack the rotation early on in his college career with so many players, I guess, expected back. There's a lot of transferring nowadays. You especially hear about that at the Division I level with the transfer portal. But again, going to play at Warner University. And Brody's a young man that played 4 years of varsity basketball at South Dearborn, a two-time All-EIAC selection, has junior and senior years playing a more prominent role as a leader on the team, a ball handler, a player that they look to do a lot of the scoring, a lot of the playmaking. I think he's a good defender for, you know, we talk about his size not being that tall, but a good on-ball defender. He's very pesky off the ball. I like the way he plays against bigs down low, off the ball, coming through, doubling, stealing the ball from those bigger guys that don't see him coming. So it's a young man that I think is more well-rounded than maybe some people give him credit for. 13 points per game. Mention, not the tallest guy on the floor, but averaged almost 4 rebounds per game for South Dearborn this last year. He was among their top rebounders from the point guard position. 2.5 assists and 2.5 steals per game. Yes, if you've seen Brody play, most people are going to talk about his shooting right off of the bat. He did make 72 three-pointers, 35% from behind the arc and 80% from the free throw line. I think he shot 40% from the field. So those are good shooting percentages across the board. You know, that's something that sometimes you can't teach. It's just some people just have a natural talent to shoot and score the basketball, and I think he has that. Plus, he's got a great work ethic, so those percentages could remain the same or get a little bit better at the college level with the way that he works. And then in the classroom, 3.4 GPA, pretty good as well. So again, big congratulations to Brody Tiki, young man I've gotten a chance to get to know a little bit through this very show, and very happy for him to get to go play college basketball. We're going to be rooting for him and following along, seeing how he does at the collegiate level. Sticking on a similar theme, we do want to say congratulations to East Central's Alyssa Bryans, who is going to be playing D1 soccer. She is center back and a midfielder by trade, and as a junior, 684 minutes for the Trojans, 5 goals, and she assisted on 5 goals and scored 3 times. Again, when you're playing center back, you're not going to have those goal-scoring opportunities. sure, yes, on set pieces, corners, you're going to get up, have a chance to head the ball into the net. When she's playing in a midfield role, still a little bit more central defense, but might be able to get forward at times. So, again, those stats aren't going to pop off the page because of where she plays on the field. But very, very talented, obviously going to play D1 and still has another year to go at the high school level. And when she's not starring for the Trojans and helping them win conference championships and sectional championships, she is a member of Ohio Elite ECNL. And in the classroom, she carries a 4.0 plus GPA. So very well-rounded student athlete is Alyssa Bryans. Wanted to give her a big congratulations on her commitment to Morehead State University. So with that, we've reached the midway point of the show. Let's step aside for a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk some NKU women's basketball. We got a Milan High School senior golfer that we want to talk about. We're going to hit on some baseball in the area, and then we're going to get into some NFL mock draft stuff. I'm going to have a little fun at the end of the show. I'm pumped up about the draft on Thursday. This is Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. I'm Double T. Very happy to be with you on this Monday evening. Lots of great stuff to talk about in hometown sports. Before we get back into it, another reminder, this Saturday, April 27th from 9 a.m. to noon, free sports physicals being offered at Ortho Cincy in Lawrenceburg for all student athletes grades 6 through 12. This is for the 2024-25 school year, so you'll want to take advantage of the opportunity to get those free sports physicals done and out of the way, something you don't have to worry about anymore, and make sure that your child or children are able to play all the sports they want to play during the 24-25 school year. All right, so let's get into some college hoops. Not something that we talk about a whole ton, but I tell you what, this is a pretty interesting story with Northern Kentucky University hiring a new women's basketball head coach, and they didn't have to look far for this man as Jeff Hans is being hired, was introduced today as the new NKU head coach, and he does have ties to the school, returns there after serving as an assistant coach from 2008 to 2011, was also a grad assistant from 01 to 02. But for the past 13 years, where has Hans been? Just up the road at Thomas More University, coaching their women's basketball team. And what a program he built there. The Saints went 339-42 in that 13 years. That is absolutely outstanding. 8 regular season conference championships, 8 conference tournament titles, 11 national tournament berths, and 3 national championships, 2 at the D3 level and 1 at the NAIA level as well, and a 3-time Coach of the Year in 2016, 19, and 22. Usually when you win a national championship, you are the Coach of the Year. So Jeff Hans returning to NKU and trying to bring that success that he had at Thomas More to the next level up. It's time to go D1 and see what he can do with the Norse at Northern Kentucky University. So I think that's pretty interesting. And obviously when you're a coach like he is at a local school in the tri-state area, they do recruit a lot of tri-state area players. That's not to say that they are not going to venture out and get recruits from elsewhere throughout the region. And, I don't know that the reach is going to be national, but again, there's going to be some opportunity if there are some D1 level players in our tri-state area to stay home and play at NKU for somebody that has had a unbelievable track record in college basketball. And that is Jeff Hans. So, it's going to be worth looking into NKU this next season and beyond to see if he can have that success translate from NAIA to Division III up to Division I. Going to be absolutely fascinating. We're jumping around here. Let's go back to high school athletics. Got to give a shout out to Jacob Helton, a senior at Milan High School. He did what every golfer dreams of doing last week, and that is making a hole-in-one. And he did it at Belterra Casino Resort. This was a part of a tri-meet against Switzerland County and Jacksonville. If you have not played at Belterra, it can be a very challenging course. It is long. It is narrow. You have to hit good shots consistently. And he came right out of the gate hitting good shots because the hole-in-one comes on hole number two. And I'm not exactly sure what tee box was being used, but I'm getting ready to play at Belterra here pretty soon, and I've been looking at the course. I haven't played there in many years, but I still remember how difficult and long and tough this course can be. But a hole number two, you're talking about 215 from the tournament tees, 188 from champion, or 162 from the resort. So regardless of which one of those tee boxes was used for this try meet against Switz and Jacksonville, you're still hitting a pretty long way on a par three, quite honest, if you ask me. I mean, I'm not a great golfer, but 162 is still fairly long for a par three. It might have been 188. I don't know. Regardless, hitting a hole-in-one has to be the thrill of a lifetime. And to do it and also have team success and win that try meet, that had to just be a memory and a moment and a night, day that Jacob Helton and his teammates will likely never forget. I know his teammates are going to be talking about that down the road. They're going to be telling everybody, oh, I played with this guy in high school. We're playing at Belterra. We're going against these two local teams, Switz and Jacksonville, and hole-in-one on hole number two. Never seen anything like it. So really, really cool story, and a big congratulations to Jacob Helton. I one day hope to join you on the hole-in-one list. I've always joked that if I ever do that, I'm going to toss my clubs in the nearest pond and never hit another golf ball ever again. I doubt I'll actually do that. I doubt I'll actually ever have a hole in one. So kudos to Mr. Jacob Helton. All right, sticking with some high school athletics, got to talk about the Lawrenceburg Tigers baseball program. One, because their head coach, Nick Tremaine, recently hit a coaching milestone. It was this past Thursday, picking up career win number 300 in a 9-4 win over Rushville. Tigers would go on to defeat Switzerland County 12-2 on Friday, and they are off to an amazing start. 11-1 on the season, 4-1 in the EIAC, tied for first with East Central and Connersville. And I mentioned it on last week's show, the Tigers did not have a great season a year ago, even though they had what everyone thought was quite a bit of talent on that team. But they have come out of the gate blazing hot this season, and they got two huge games, monumental games this week against Connersville tonight and Thursday. Again, tied for first, three-way tie with the Spartans and the Trojans. You got two with Batesville next week, so a crucial, crucial mid-season stretch in the EIAC for not only the Tigers, but those other teams that are in the mix, like Connersville and Batesville and East Central, of course. But when your pitching has been spectacular, maybe not a whole lot to worry about. Tyler Adams, 3-0 with a 2 ERA in 21 innings pitched. Carson Milan is 2-0 with a 1 ERA in 14 innings. Brody Price, 3-0 with a 1.53 ERA in 18 and a third inning pitch. And Dustin Shaw has been solid in limited action, going 2-1 in 9 and a third innings pitched. So the pitching staff has been outstanding for the Lawrenceburg Tigers. And the team batting average, .310. Their on-base percentage is .446. That on-base plus slugging is .886, so well-rounded team throughout the lineup, 1-9. Nolan McLean, Dustin Shaw, Noah Reeder, J.P. Izzo doing most of the damage in terms of runs batted in, both, or all four of those, I should say, in double digits in terms of RBI. So the Tigers off to a great start, and congratulations to Coach Tremaine on picking up that 300th win, a big-time milestone for Coach Tree. And finally, want to get into some Cincinnati sports talk. One of my favorite weeks of the year. It is the NFL draft, starting up on Thursday with first round action, and obviously pumped up about the Cincinnati Bengals and their upcoming season. For one, we're hoping that Joe Burrow is going to be a healthy player for all 17 games plus the playoffs this year. That will make a huge difference for this Bengals team, goes without saying. But looking at their draft coming up this week, I'm just going to focus on the first three rounds, going to go through one more live mock draft. We actually did this with South Dearborn's Adam Kunkel several weeks back. It was actually during the basketball season and had a lot of fun. So we're going to bring it back and see what it looks like today. Because I believe we're talking about the Bengals taking Talese Fuaga in the first round, a right tackle out Oregon State. Things have changed with those mock draft simulators and projections. He's not expected to be there at number 18 overall. So we're going to jump into this here this evening. But the Bengals in the first three rounds pick 18 in round one, pick 49 in round two, and they will have number 80 and 97 in the third round. That 97th pick, a compensatory pick, for losing Jesse Bates to a free agency a year ago. So two third-round picks, they could do some damage there. Having four picks in the top 100 is a good place to be. Team needs offensive tackle. They did address it in free agency with Trent Brown playing on the right. He has had health concerns, injury concerns throughout his career. He's a massive man. Him and Orlando Brown basically mirror each other. And I'll say this about Trent Brown. When he's healthy, he's a good tackle, and he's really good at pass protection. That's what the Bengals are going to do most of the time, is throw the ball with number nine. So I do think Trent Brown has an opportunity to be a really good player on this team. It's just going to be, can he stay healthy? So I get that they need an offensive tackle, one that can compete with him for a starting job, maybe take over next year after his one-year deal runs out. Or maybe Trent Brown does what he always does and gets hurt, then you have insurance there. They also need a defensive tackle. They did sign Sheldon Rankins in the offseason to, quote-unquote, replace DJ Reader. They're kind of different players, but still, quality-wise, Rankins is there with BJ Hill. Beyond that, not a lot of depth. Cornerback, Cam Taylor-Britt and DJ Turner, your starting outside corners. They don't have much depth behind them on the outside. Yes, Mike Hilton will play the slot. Dax Hill is probably going to play in that area this year with the signings of Von Bell and Geno Stone at safety. Corner, I think, is a huge need. They did sign Mike Gesicki to play tight end. They brought back Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson, so they have guys there. But if somebody like Brock Bowers falls to them at 18, that should be a no-brainer type pick. Wide receiver, they're going to draft one at some point this week. I don't know if it's going to be in the first round or beyond, but they will draft somebody. I know they drafted Charlie Jones and Andre Yoshivash last year. Those guys fit in pretty well as rookies when they were able to get on the field. You still have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. T's going to play under the franchise tag. Let's not get carried away there. And Trent Irwin is serviceable, but I think you still need another guy there, and they could use some depth on the offensive line and the interior center and guards. Going to have center Ted Karras coming off the books after this season. Alex Kappa, his contract's getting close to running out, so you need guys that are going to be able to step in for those guys that are aging. And a lot of people don't really think Cordell Volson's very good on the left side, so again, needs some players on the offensive line. So let's go ahead and look at some of the players that the Bengals would love to have but probably won't get an opportunity to get. Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, was one that I mentioned. If he does fall to 18, I'd be hard-pressed to pass up on getting him. He could change this offense in a big way if they are able to get him. We see some of the other great teams in the NFL, Kansas City with Travis Kelce, San Francisco with George Kittle, just to mention a few. When you have a tight end that is versatile and great like those two are, it can transform your offense, and Brock Bowers could be that player. I mentioned Talese Fuaga, the right tackle from Oregon State, not expected to be there. Olufashinu from Penn State, another tackle, not expected to be there, but he could be one. If anyone was going to slide from the tackle spot, it would be him. You got a couple of corners, very interesting. Terrion Arnold from Alabama, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. Those are five that Bengals, I think the Bengals would be excited to have fall to them and have the opportunity to draft them. I just don't think that it's necessarily going to happen. I do think that the Bengals will pick from one of these four players: J.C. Latham, an offensive tackle from Alabama; Amarius Mims, another offensive tackle from Georgia; Johnny Newton, a defensive tackle from Illinois; or Byron Murphy, another DT from Texas. And out of those four, I lean towards Murphy. I get the understanding behind needing an offensive lineman and protecting Joe Burrow, but there's also a huge need for more at defensive tackle. Rankins and Hill need some help there. They also need more pass rush from the interior. Rankins should help you with that, but Murphy just looks super explosive from that position, and I kind of look at him as a poor man's Aaron Donald, so I would love to see him in stripes. Some others that might be in the mix, Nate Wiggins, a corner from Clemson, Cooper DeJean, a corner from Iowa. Iowa, excuse me, super athletic and is very good returning punts and kicks. That will be more necessary to have good players, specifically on kick return this year with the rule changes. And then Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU. I am not ruling it out in the slightest. This is a guy that could be a perfect replacement for when T. Higgins does depart. He's playing under the franchise tag this year. They could tag him again next year, but I don't know that he's going to get the long-term contract that he wants and maybe even deserves, because Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the next in line to get big money for the Bengals. So let's jump into a mock draft. I'm going to use the ESPN mock draft simulator. And as expected, Mims, Newton, and Murphy, they are on the table. Latham was drafted right in front of the Bengals. So based on that, Brian Thomas Jr. there as well. I'm going to go ahead and take Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. I just very, very intrigued by him as a prospect. He would be somebody I would be excited to see get drafted. Again, if they take Mims or Newton, one of those corners I talked about, I think I'd be pretty happy with that as well. So as you move into the second round, this is where it gets tricky. If you don't pick the offensive lineman, there's not necessarily one there at the top of the board that would make sense in round two. So you're looking at maybe doubling up at defensive tackle. You go Kamari Lassiter, a corner out of Georgia. I like that he's coming from one of the best programs in the country. Keon Coleman, a wide receiver from Florida State, could be an intriguing one. Troy Franklin, a wide receiver from Oregon. TJ Tampa, a corner from Iowa State. Trey Benson, running back from Florida State. Running back, not necessarily a position of need, but he is a very, very intriguing prospect. And then a little bit down the way is Roger Rosengardner. He is ranked 64 on the big board, and this is pick 49, so would be a reach, but let's go ahead and take Rosengardner here just to address the offensive line and see where the board falls for round three with two picks at 80 and 97. So, all right, quick simulation there. Ricky Pearsall is still there at the top of the board. He would be an intriguing wide receiver prospect. Jalen McMillan, a wide receiver from Washington. I know he visited the Bengals on a rookie visit, so he might be a pick there as well. Let's go. Let's go with Pearsall. Say his route running is exceptional, would be a great slot receiver in this offense in between Ja'Marr Chase and, of course, T. Higgins. And then with the fourth pick of their draft, the second, third round pick, you can go some different ways here. I'm going to double up on defensive tackle. Mekhi Wingo, a defensive tackle from LSU, the best run stopping percentage among defensive tackles in the draft. I think he pairs well with Murphy, and that gives them a four-man rotation at defensive tackle. I think that would be a very, very intriguing pick there. So we're going Byron Murphy, Roger Rosengardner, Ricky Pearsall, and Mekhi Wingo for this particular mock draft simulator. But It may not fall like that. I'm not expecting that to be like a prediction of who they're going to get. Just a little bit of a simulation to show that it's still the same process for the Bengals this year that we've talked about in earlier mock drafts. Offense and defensive tackle are big. They got to get a corner, wide receiver, tight end, guard. I think they're going to hit on all those positions, or try to hit on all those positions throughout the seven rounds of the draft. So looking forward to it. I'm a big draft nerd. I'd watch every single minute of it if I could. Quickly, the Reds 12-9, coming off a three-game sweep of the Angels, 2.5 back in the Central of Milwaukee and FC Cincinnati. 4-2-3, 15 points total. Currently third in the Eastern Conference, just 1 point behind Red Bulls and 3 points behind Miami after a 2-1 road win against Atlanta on Saturday. So there you have it. That's going to round out Crunch Time on this Monday evening, presented by OrthoCincy, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great night.